What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL. Joined, as always, by my main man, Jonathan Holder, and my other main man, Toby D. What's going on, guys?
What's up? Man,
it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, man.
Yeah, it is. Like, we're starting to get on the other side of this heat that's been rolling around here. Some of y'all have the pleasure of working inside air-conditioned padded offices with comfy chairs. And then there's some of us that have to sweat for a living. but yeah, these last few days, holy Pete, it has been absolutely hot.
You didn't tell your boss to give you some AC in that warehouse, man.
Yeah, okay. No, look at me.
Yeah, right.
But hey, Toby D knows about that. That I'm trying to, man, trying to AC about a warehouse. So, well, we had a football game.
We did.
The last time we have all been together, we have had an actual live football game. I know me and Jonathan jumped on the Out of Your Falcon Mind podcast on Sunday. I think that's when what day that was.
Yes.
And
maybe
I think it was so much. Anyway, so we chatted a little bit about the game, but as far as like here on our show, we have not had a chance to break down the game. So I guess without much further ado, we might as well just go ahead and get into it. And since we've had a game, it is once again time for ballers and followers. But before we get into that, holy crap, I just got back in.
I know.
Willie.
Appreciate it, man.
You know, he says, been waiting for y'all since Friday's game. Thanks for the discussion during the game. What do we do now that Walker and Darby are gone? What is the real reason Walker is gone, and will Darby come back? We are going to get into every bit of that today. Yes, so thank you for teeing us up on that. But before we get into that, we do have to get into our ballers and fallers. Triumphant return. I hope everybody can see this.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. Something's been acting crazy. Anyway. All right. So right off the rip, obviously we start with a baller. Toby, before I unveil the baller, who would your baller be?
I'm going to DeMarco Hellum.
DeMarco Hellum. Yeah, he was right up there with me as far as like producing a really good game. Jonathan, who's your guess at baller?
I'm actually gonna go Breon Borders.
Breon Borders, very good. Okay. Now, as we actually get into
the season,
we will actually discuss this and come to a consensus. As even like with the preseason, it's time for warm-ups and getting back into the flow of things. I remember ballers and fallers about 15 minutes before we maybe 30 minutes before we went live. And I was like, oh crap, ballers and fallers. So unfortunately, yeah, Y'all didn't get a chance to put in your opinions. So this is my baller. Oh yeah, AK spin move. Yes.
Yeah.
So I felt like this week's baller was D. Alford, and who I gave it to, and therefore he got the graphic treatment. But not only did he play really good in the position of corner, whether it was outside slot, like he had a good game altogether. But then on top of it, housing that punt return, that right there was like the electric moment of the game, that 79 yard punt return, and then followed up with a pick six later on. Willie, appreciate that. He said, just because y'all brought back ballers,
Willie,
of course we were gonna bring back the ballers. The ballers.
We're bringing it back, man.
So yeah, look, everything's going crazy.
Oh god.
I don't know. Hold on.
Good. Oh, Lord. God.
Uh oh. There it is.
It's all good. No going panic. No panic.
Oh, I'm going to panic. You know that. I don't know. Like I got, maybe my computer's telling me that I should take down one of these screens. But anyway. So on to the faller. Toby, who do you think? Who's your faller?
Cuckoo. Mr. Younghoe Koo, baby.
Oh, Younghoe Koo, yeah, with his two with his two misses. You're not wrong there.
Man.
Yeah, he needs to get those out of the way early.
Yeah, boy, that number, man. That number change.
Like, I thought maybe he could get three. We'll get into that in a second. But, well, anyway, Jonathan, who's your faller?
I feel bad saying it, but Darby. Like, he just didn't show up.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, he just didn't show up at all.
I wonder if his injury happened before and he was trying to play through it or what have you. I don't know. Well, mine, the one I ended up giving it to, and it was almost like salt in a wound, but he deserved it regardless, and that is Michael Walker.
Michael Walker, yeah, that was
He had a rough game. And that rough game, I think, was the icing on the cake that then led him into being released Sunday. Like, we didn't even make it, you know, back to the, like, work week, so to speak.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they didn't even let him get back out on the practice field.
No, they were just like, no, son, we've seen enough. So that was my faller. Like, just
your boy Deezy here is like Ali for dropping that long ball. I thought about that, but like he made some other catches as well. And like, even Julio Jones has literally dropped a like nobody's within 10 yards of him right in his hands touchdown before.
It's gonna happen from time to time, but yeah, he did make up for it with a couple of good other catches. Chris is over here saying, kick a man while he's in unemployment. He's not unemployed anymore.
No, he's not.
Chicago don't pick him up.
Yeah, Chicago don't pick him up. So yeah, that's the inaugural first preseason baller and faller. Like I said, next week I'll back into swinging it. I'll make sure to get y'all's opinions before I make a graphic. But yeah, I'm with you with Bubba Gump here. It says Walker going into year three. Was he going into, I think, year four, wasn't he?
Yeah, this
would have been year four.
Yeah, and still struggling like a rookie. He never really was able to get himself, you know, get comfortable, I don't think. Like, he went from a couple different schemes, and even in college, he was a very versatile player. So, meaning he didn't really get a chance to, like, hone in on one, you know, position. Which was something that I was excited about when he was coming out of college. I was excited about his versatility, playing on, you know, the defensive end, playing linebacker, playing safety. I thought he could have been a chess piece, but it just never really did translate for us. And I think making that boneheaded grab on that third down.
Yep.
Like, because, you know, we'll go back to, you know, game thoughts, because that was like, you could tell they're going to still be running a lot of simulated pressures.
Yeah.
And that's like Walker on that play was mugged up on the line and meant to be dropping into a zone, like to confuse the quarterback. And he was in decent enough position and he's over here grabbing the receiver for no reason.
Yep.
So,
He basically had he is like a reincarnated middle linebacker version of Robert Alford. Robert Alford, super talented. Michael Walker is a talented individual. He just doesn't trust himself to actually be able to like defend properly. So whenever he either feels like he's getting beat or he actually gets beat, instead of trying to make up for it and get back into position, he gets handsy. And just no matter how many times he gets called for it, no matter how many times you try to coach it out of him, it just never was able to do it. And that's the same thing here.
Right. So tell me, what were some of your thoughts as far as like the game itself went? Like, what stood out to you? Obviously, we didn't see any of the starters play, but I know I'm pretty sure you don't watch the game two or three times like myself at this point. So what stood out to you?
I mean, you got to give a shout out to Jerry Gray and Steven Jackson, first of all, because that's the secondary is what stood out to me. They had those guys out there looking like they actually knew what they were doing. They was attacking the football. This is something Dean Pease said he wanted his guys to do more of last year, but they could never get to doing it. And this year, you saw those second and third stringers in the right position, making the plays on the football all night long, especially DeMarco Helms. I mean, the way he was tackling, like textbook tackling, he was making good pursuit angles. Now, every now and then, he got out of his spot, but it was very rare that it was happening most of the night. And that's a credit to the secondary coaches, man. With all that experience, you can see that experience shining through. And so that's where my credit goes to for the night.
So he almost tackled himself out of the game.
Yeah, he did. He did, yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, he has that nickname of Hitman Helms.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you saw it on that one. So, Toby, to kind of I want you to, if you can, you know, like expound or maybe like follow up a little bit on what you're saying. What do you think the difference between how Dean was presenting it and teaching it to versus how Jerry's presenting it and teaching it? Do you think it's like a more simplified version, or like, what do you think is leading to the success?
I mean, both coaches have had a lot of years of experience, but you know, Jerry, looking at it more from a secondary standpoint, I think has more, I guess, teaching lessons in that standpoint. Nothing against Dean Pease, but that's not really his area of expertise of teaching the secondary. Now, we know he liked to build from the back to the front. But as far as spending one-on-one with those guys and showing them what to look at, like you can tell them guys knew what to look at and they was prepared. Now, a lot of that has to do with them practicing with the same team for at least 3 days too. But right, that's also on a credit to Jerry Jones, to Jerry Craig Gray and Steven Jackson, because they're able to study these guys. They might not have done a serious studying of the guys that they were playing against, but they learned enough to be able to take that into a game and translate it. And when you saw all those guys, I can't even call all the names of those guys. They were just making plays.
Yeah, they were.
They were no-name guys making plays on the football all night long. I mean, popping the football up and right there to get it on that first interception that DeMarco Helms got, it was knocked up. I don't even know who number 33 is. Who is 33?
Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers. Okay.
Trey Flowers.
Well, but see, that's the thing, though, that you're bringing up there with the teaching and all that, and is like Trey Flowers has bounced between a safety and a corner.
Right.
And for him to be, you know, playing like he did in that game, yes, it's against twos, I get it, but they're twos, if you know, for right. us. And when was right. the last time, in your recollection, when was the last time twos on our end actually looked better than the twos on the other team?
I hadn't seen it.
Right.
And not that I can remember anyway.
Right. So, yeah, like Chris says here, it's something we're all not used to. Depth. Yeah. That was the thing that I found that was very interesting, is that he has that our twos and threes were consistent through the whole game on the defensive side. Now you could say, oh, well, you only scored one touchdown. John from Alexandria, he says my beard was still brown the last time that happened. Talking about having that. But you had, what was I going to say? Like on the offensive side of the ball, you know, you're like, oh, well, they only scored one touchdown. Yes, but they still moved the ball well.
Yeah.
Like, and if you had, you could tell that they were trying a couple things, because there were a couple deep shots that, like, Ali, you know, had he got that one. There was one to Sexton.
Very late in the game, near
the goal line. Had he pulled that in, that probably would have been a touchdown there. So, I'm not too concerned about the offense. The backup offensive line outside of Ryan Neuzel, you know, kind of worries me a little bit, because Jalen Mayfield is still Olaying people.
All right, like, so I went back and watched and looked at. I didn't look at every single snap of Jalen Mayfield, but I'll say this: especially in the run game, dude played really good.
Oh yeah, in the run game, yes.
Mauled some people really good. Got like three pancake blocks. In his first game at right tackle, so like he did better. The pass pro still needs some work, but that's the reason why he's a backup. But you could see, especially in the run game, you could see that this is probably the first time that I've ever seen him kind of live up to the, if you don't want, you know, that mentality that we heard when right. he was drafted of, if you don't want your quarterback hit, pick me, you know, that the kind of that bravado,
right. That, yeah. that bold. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the first time I've seen anything that he's done that's like started to rise to match that kind of bravado. Right. So I'm hopeful. Like, let's see if he can continue, like, Ledford, like, what, maybe they got him in the right place now. He's comfortable. Let Ledford do, you know, work his magic on him, whatever. And just like, let's see where that goes. And I'm fine with that. As long as we're talking him being the backup, then I'm okay with it.
Right.
Yeah.
MJ has a really good point here. It says Arthur Smith said he would put our coaches up against anyone as far as teaching on hands. Few of the best teachers in the game, and it's showing. Even with a guy like Mayfield, you're seeing like the effects of Ledford on his game, because at least we can say in this game that there was a competent aspect of his game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, up until this year, you didn't really have that. Like, he was a dumpster fire all the way around. If they can turn him into a competent backup, then good, you know, good on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
The thing, you know, going back to like the secondary, the thing that I liked about this game with the secondary is, you know, and I know Toby talked about this a little bit, like, they're not scouting. Yes, they did practice against them, but they're not scouting and watch and like really digging into the tape against the Miami Dolphins in the lead up to this game. They're looking at their own film, how they played against them in practice, right? And they're mm-hmm. seeing like what it, you know, mm-hmm. here's what he did, here's what you did, you either did it right, you did it wrong, here's what you need to do to fix it, whatever the case may be. But like this kind of a preseason game where you didn't have any starters, there was no real game plan for how you wanted to attack this team's weaknesses and, you know, keep their strengths down as much as you can, all that kind of stuff. This was about guys going out there, working the technique that these mm-hmm. coaches have been teaching them and having them rely on that, not yep. just, okay, I see, you know, in, yes, we were in the classroom and we were watching film and we saw this exact formation, this exact motion. So we're all like, everybody's kind of looking at this the same way and saying, oh, this is what's coming. Like, they don't really know what's coming. They're just trying to, like, based on what kind of defense we're running and our knowledge of that defense, and then once the plays run, like the technique of how to trail a guy properly,
yeah,
not get too handsy, all those things is what are on display for this type of game. And it's very, very encouraging that, yeah, they gave up some plays. They gave up some big plays. But for the most part, 95% of the time, even when a guy made a play, made a catch on him, they were right there with him the whole way. And they didn't let him, most of the time, they didn't let him catch a ball and then just start running around all over the place. It was catch, well, they tackle, called him. Drop.
All right, I'm going to let you answer this one, Toby, or at least start off with Willie, again, appreciate you.
Doc,
hey, Willie, you buying my lunch for the next week.
says, if you were Arthur Smith talking to Fontenot and you had the option of carrying three quarterbacks or five running backs, what would you choose? Toby, what would you choose on that one?
Oh man! Oh boy! That's a tough one for me. I you know what? I'm going with the three quarterbacks.
Okay.
I think Logan has earned himself a spot to be the third quarterback, kept on this roster, in my opinion. And I think you need to carry three.
Yeah.
Just in case, you never know.
Do something I meant to look up. Do any of us have an actual clarification on what the third QB rule is? Does that third QB not count on game day or not count against the 53?
I think you have to take a. I think you have to have a. I think you have to have. I'm trying to think what they said. They were saying on there about having that third quarterback. If you're gonna carry an extra guy on that, how many 48 or 49 man roster during game day? It has to be a quarterback.
Okay. Bubba's saying it doesn't count against the 53. King Richie says he has to be on the roster. Now, Charleston Nash says the new rule enables the third quarterback to not count against the 53.
So, okay.
What'd you find, Jonathan?
The new rule says the third QB has to be on the 53-man roster. They have to be, a practice squad QB elevated on game day cannot be a third QB.
Oh, what? Okay. But if he's on the roster already, he can.
So, does it count against the 53 or not?
I'm looking at some more stuff.
Because if it don't count against the 53, you might as well just carry one. But if it then counts against the 53, that's when you have to make a decision on, you know, where you are you carrying a guy on the 53 for an extreme.
It sounds like, okay, based on this, it will count against 53, but it will not count against the team's 46 man active roster.
Okay. Right. So I knew there was
that's what I was trying to say. I just couldn't remember, but
I knew there was an aspect that it didn't count somewhere.
Yeah.
Because it would have to be that it didn't count somewhere for people to want to do it. You know, so if you have a decision to carry 53 or, you know, a third QB on your 53, but that third QB doesn't count against your 46, your game day 46, then that's a benefit. I can see how.
And that guy can
only play if the other two get hurt.
Yes.
You can't carry the third quarterback, whoever you designate as the third quarterback, and then put him in if your starter gets hurt. Right. He's only there in case of a San Francisco.
It's an emergency QB rule.
It's a break the glass. Right.
Yes. So in that case, like, I would absolutely agree with Toby. Like, you take the third QB and carry four running backs, like true running backs, because chances are even your fourth running back is active, right? Maybe. But if you carry five running backs, that fifth running back is not going to be active, and there's no way for that fifth running back to get into that game if they're inactive.
Yeah.
Whereas your QB doesn't count against your 46 man active roster. And if in the event that something crazy does happen and they're needed, they can get in. So there is a benefit to having them there.
Right. Yeah. I think with the way the new rule is structured, I think if it came down to, okay, I got one last spot left and I'm choosing between Carlos Washington and Logan Woodside, I'm taking Logan Woodside.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably five times out of five, I'm going to take Logan Woodside. Not that I think he's that much better of a player, but like you laid out and like Toby laid out, there's a scenario where he can get into the game and he doesn't affect my 46. Yeah. As to where the only way Carlos Washington gets in the game is if he does affect my 46. And then at that point, he has to bring something extra, like on special teams.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's gunner, you know, returner, whatever. Like, he has to bring something to make it worth it. All right, so we touched on it earlier, but let's go ahead and kind of dig into a little bit more. Sunday morning, we got the news. Sunday-ish, may have been afternoon, I'm not sure. No, because like you said, it was before they even practiced. They practiced Sunday. The team released Michael Walker. And I think it has – somebody asked me what – like Willie Dock was asking why do we think he got released. I legitimately think he couldn't find a home, in a sense.
Yep.
Like –
Because you were we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on stream or if we just talked about it afterwards or whatever. But either way, we talked about this where there was a guy out there, Joe Patrick, or was it Rothstein?
I think it was Rothstein in Rothstein's notes.
Yeah, so Rothstein basically said a little while back, they were basically like, they're still trying to find a home for him. They're still trying to find a spot that is good for him. And if you're in your fourth year, the third year with a head coach, And you're, you know, and you're to the point where even the new defensive coordinator is looking at it and trying to be like, where do you fit?
I don't know where to put you.
Yeah. So like, if that's the case, that's a problem. And then on top of that, you have a boneheaded defensive play. Mm-hmm. You're out of position, a few times. It's just, it's not working. And obviously, I wish him nothing but success in Chicago. They picked him up.
Yeah.
Go there, maybe learn from Roquan Smith. And maybe you learn something there.
You'd have to go to Baltimore to learn from
Roquan. Oh, Baltimore. I totally wasn't even thinking about that. But yeah. Either way, just like they've had a history of good linebackers. So you go there, learn from some other linebackers. Maybe you can pick something up. Maybe they can get something out of you. And I wish you nothing but success unless you come to Atlanta. And then we're going to run over you.
Toby,
yeah.
your thoughts there?
The writing was already on the wall, guys. I mean, it was already – I mean, you heard reports of Caden Ellis and next to Troy Anderson. Most of the time they was out there, you weren't really hearing a lot about Michael Walker out there a lot, with the starting guys. And so the writing was on the wall. They did some very interesting things this preseason. I think they already kind of indicated what they want to do when the season starts. It's a veteran presence on that defense, especially type of team, guys. So the fact that they had Ebiketie out there, and we already know they're going Bud Dupree. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is going to be one of their main staples in here. And even Lorenzo Carter. This is going to be a veteran type of defense, but these other guys are going to play a role and they get to see what those other guys can do. You can tell that everybody on that defense side of the ball already had a vision for everybody. Mm-hmm. And you can tell how they play. You can tell how they brought people out there in rotation. Timmy Horn had a good game. I love the way he popped out. He played very well. Yeah. And Huggins too. So
Albert Huggins.
Yeah. You can already tell they can see a vision for the guys that they put out there. Michael Walker, unfortunately, was not in the picture.
Nope.
So,
I mean,
he got X'd out.
Right. And it was like, who said it here? It was, come on now, where'd it go? MJ says, Nate Landman was playing good. I think it was just enough to kick Walker out the door and save the money. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, Nate Landman, you saw that big looping sack he had.
Oh, that bootleg, man. That was wonderful.
And he had great recognition on that play, ran down Mike White and got a sack. And those were the kind of plays that you needed to see more out of Michael Walker, and you just weren't seeing them. And and like I said, I hated it because I had that year he came out. Now, granted, he ain't done much either, but everybody was super hyped about Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson.
Yeah.
And I really felt like Walker could have been that same type of player. Now, ain't neither one of them really panned out much of anything yet, but still, that was something I was hoping to find his legs, but he never did.
He looks the part. He looks the part, and I wanted him to be successful so badly. I mean, we needed him to be successful, and he just
never pulled it off. King Seven says, "Darby gone, what?" And he follows it up with some bulging eyeballs. He is Darby. Yep. But here's the deal. Tony Wright says, "I was rooting for Frank Darby as he had a good training camp. He'll find another team needing another solid receiver." Here's the deal.
Yep.
He's going to revert to IR. Cause they waived him when they waived him, he was injured. And so I highly doubt any team is going to pick him up. So I would imagine sometime before the end of this week's out, you'll see a report from somebody that says that Walker reverted back to IR, him and probably Chris Blair. I think they already put Chris Blair on the IR. But either way, I'm almost positive that Frank Darby is going to end up on IR. One thing that we glossed over with the release of Michael Walker is Jesse Bates did not take long at all to snap up that
No, he didn't.
Boy, like, did oh my he? God.
That dude Dang. Come out that prank. I'm talking cold-blooded.
He knew that was coming.
Yeah, he did. I mean
he literally had to have like heard it through the grapevine somewhere, or somebody, or he put in something that said like, hey, If three becomes available, yeah. I'm taking it next immediately, and I need you guys to let me know. And so right. he had to have known, like, when the, I mean, that,
I mean,
had
that practice, that Sunday morning practice, that Joker was out there. He is back to being straight up down JB3, which I thought was kind of for all our numbers folks out there, our Jersey police out there. I hope y'all didn't already order your Jesse Bates jersey because
oh man,
that JB3, as the kids say, and I am old enough now to be using that statement, as the kids say, that number three on JB3 goes hard. Tony,
you're gonna have to get out the spray paint and spray over the zero.
Something.
Yeah, like right. Take it out.
That was his number. That was his number at Wake Forest, you know. And so, obviously, when he came in the league, safeties couldn't wear the number three. They have since changed that. And Millie Mills over here saying, Jesse knew Walker was trash. It was just a matter of time.
You wrong for that.
Man, that was hilarious, though. You know, for him to snap that up.
I honestly thought the very, because it was literally the very next day, I saw that pop up on Twitter. I thought it was a Photoshop at first. I didn't think it was actually real.
Oh.
I thought it was a Photoshop. Somebody like, come on now. It's open now. You got it. And then later on I saw where they actually like had a, I saw the video of him like intercepting the pass. And I was like,
right. And like, how fitting is that? The very next, you know, very next practice, new number, and he's over here intercepting passes.
Man, what's I'm exactly. You know, God is good. I'm telling you what, bro. I so love having Jesse Bates. You know, we haven't had a guy like his, of his caliber in so long, man, on the back end, boy. And I'm just telling you right now. You know, and you have these guys with Ryan Nielsen. And let me tell you, I got excited about watching Ryan Nielsen strategizing over there. That's the first time I had seen a defensive coordinator actually strategizing. Now, we know defensive coordinators, they strategize most of them. But actually to see him already thinking about the next play. And then you saw him over there strategizing when they came off the field. He's already thinking about the next set of plays for when they come back on defense. And you saw the evidence of that with all those stops that they had, especially on fourth down and how they buckled down in the red zone, man. It was amazing, man. I was just like, wow, man. I can't wait to the Lord let the Vets please play like this when they get to the season.
No doubt.
Please.
No doubt. Like if they play with the same level of consistency and confidence, and then you add the inherent talent that is coming with the starting defense, we actually might sit here for this whole season and spend a good bit of time talking about defensive plays.
Man, what you talking about?
That would be like the most amazing thing ever.
Right.
It'd be the most amazing thing.
Uncle Steve's says, what's up, PvP? Another great thing on the Walker moves. The Bears picked him up off waivers, meaning we are not on the hook for his $2.7 million of our salary cap. Win-win. Exactly. I think if I saw it was Kevin from the Falcoholic tweeted out that I think we're pushing close to $12 million in cap space.
Yeah.
So if there's somebody out there that we want, or you know, if there's a trade that becomes available, we have, you know, moves, you know, we have room to maneuver. But outside of a linebacker, maybe a O-lineman, I don't really see us adding like any substantial pieces is what I'm getting at.
Like, I could see linebacker, maybe a corner, if depending on how the injury situation shakes out. So
right, yeah. I mean, if Okuda is down more than longer than we're expecting, they did add Bless Austin.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yes.
I don't know a ton about Bless Austin.
Me either.
Yeah.
I've heard his name before.
Yeah, I've heard his name. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna sit here and try to like BS y'all. You know, if I know something about him, I know about him. I know that he played for the Seahawks. And he seemed like a decent depth player. And we'll see if he pulls a Natron Brooks, who I was not familiar with Natron Brooks's game until the preseason game. So,
yeah.
Bless Austin is a guy who I'm looking to see if how he looks come Friday. You know, when does he get in the game? Does he get in the game towards the very end. Like, you know, does he make a play? Does he get beat? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
King Seven says, I'm just ready to see who's going to take the cornerback spot on the other side of AJ. That's my only real concern. Yeah, like, you know, is it going to be Trey Flowers?
Right now, that's who it looks like.
Trey Flowers. Sounds like it's Trey Flowers. It sounds like he's making some plays, playing with some confidence. I mean, he was the one that tipped up the ball that DeMarco Helms intercepted.
Now that I know that's him.
Yeah. And he made another stop on, it was either a third down or one of the, I don't think it was one of the fourth downs. It may have been on another third down. Ray Fitty says a receiver. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think your receiving options are set with Janu Smith back in at practice. You know, I think it's Pitts, London, Janu, and Hollins, and then sprinkle in a mixture of Scotty Miller, Xavier Malone, or, you know, Zay Malone, who looked good, Josh Ali. Like, you could sprinkle in any of those guys in that aspect. Let's see. Oh, Tony Wright says he is disappointed in guard Justin Schaefer, as he had a holding penalty in the second half last week and isn't showing that he's going to make the roster. I will say the Javon Gwynn has looked good on the O-line. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Schaefer can get himself together.
Yeah, I was looking for him. Unless I just completely missed it, I did not see Fitzpatrick out there at all.
Well, I don't think he played at all, so that might mean they may consider him more of the backup tight end or
that's the stuff I was telling y'all, is that they've kind of given us a hint on where they see these guys already. Now, when it comes to the second game, it's going to get even tighter, though. So
I think so.
Woo,
the part that I found interesting is in that preseason game, you saw a good bit. Now, he was playing more of a traditional tight end role, but you saw a good bit of Parker Hesse.
Yes, you did.
Which
you
I sure find did. To be very interesting because of how many snaps he took and how pivotal he was in that run game last year.
I would keep a watch on that.
Well, I'm really interested as on Friday when the starters do come out there, is Hesse back in his H-back role, or are they trying a guy like a Fitzpatrick in that H-back role? You see what I'm saying?
So,
is that why? So, anyway, we'll get into that here in a few minutes. So, A.D. Ogundeji was put on IR today. It sounded like either today or yesterday he had an ankle injury at practice.
Yep.
And it came out today that it sounded like he was wanting to go get a second opinion. And when I read that, I was like, he's trying to avoid getting put on IR. And so, obviously, either the second opinion came back the same as the first, or the Falcons weren't waiting on that second opinion. And went ahead and put him on IR. He was a guy that we thought was on the roster bubble. And if there's one thing that I have seen with this coaching staff, at least these first 3 years, they are very willing to use IR as a reason to postpone a decision on a guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, they're very, very willing to use IR to keep the guy around to see if next year he can continue to develop.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting tactic, you know, cause when you do that, you're shelving a guy for a full season. They did that with, who'd they do that with? It was Fitzpatrick last year.
Fitzpatrick last year.
They IR'd him because they didn't want to lose him, but didn't want to use a roster spot on him.
Yeah.
And so they IR'd him. That way he's still, you know, within the facility. So that was an interesting move. Now, bit of good news as we're like bowling through these things. Drew Dolman was back at practice today. Yep. That's really good.
It was really good. Newsle, I was happy to see that.
Right. Ryan Noozle, like, played well, but I am not wanting Ryan Noozle starting in front of Desmond Ridder against Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't want him starting in front of Ridder against Cincinnati in the preseason.
Right. Well, yeah, no. So I won't do that. I won't do all of it, right? I never thought I would actually say that, but I want Drew Dolman back. And so it was good to have him practicing again today.
Yes. I am going to be like, so far, the only time we've seen the offensive line has been in practice. And even then, we've seen two different ones, and mainly this at the left guard position. Right. So it sounds like Hennessy is still kind of iffy. He still hasn't been out there. He hasn't been cleared to practice yet. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody, I think it was yesterday. It was either yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Somebody said this is the first time he was like not sure if Hennessy was going to make the roster.
That was because,
because you hear them saying, you hear Smith saying stuff like, you know, I feel bad for Hennessy, like feel bad for the situation for him and all this other stuff. And
so whatever that little, you know, dust up was, it sounds like it's far more serious than we initially thought.
Well, it's either that or Bergeron has come on and has really impressed to the point where they're like, yeah, I know we said he was going to come back and you know, get his job back. But,
I mean, you drafted Bergeron in the second round to be your starting left guard, like straight up.
And Nick, I'll just go ahead and answer this. Like, we didn't see, he was not a part of the game. Like, he didn't start.
No, he didn't.
Yep. Which is another
indicator. Right.
Yeah, you know, if you're not playing your starters and he's not playing.
Right. I'll say this, Chris. I agree with you. You could mic up Ryan Noozle just about any time. That was an enjoyable mic up to listen to him over here calling false start on the guy who throws up. Because apparently there was a Dolphins.
I haven't seen that one yet. I have not seen that one yet.
Check it out. I need to see it. It's pretty funny. And apparently he's also like one of the coaches really like him. Because apparently today at practice, you know, Arthur Smith's walking up behind him, recording him or whatever, as he's talking to the, you know, reporters and, you know, shaking his head and just messing with him, you know. And
apparently giving him a hard time about him and his publicist.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Millie says, I like that our staff takes injuries seriously, unlike other teams. I will say this. There ain't going to be no Tua situation on our team. Like,
no.
They ain't putting nobody back out there unless they truly feel like they are 100%.
Yeah.
So, who are you talking about? Wilkes. Oh, that's right. Mike Jones.
Who? Mike Jones. Who?
That joke will not get old to me. I love it. he played good in his, like him getting out there. He was. Moving and active and all that jazz. Project Warrior says, how much do you guys think that being in Atlanta for 4 weeks in a row, last two preseason, first two regular season games, will do for our rookies and second year guys? Seems like it's great. I am enjoying the fact that for the first time in a while, we're starting at home.
Yes.
It seems like last few years, we've either started on the road or if we had a home game, the very next game was like a West Coast game or some weird crap. So
now I could be wrong, but I think this is the Atlanta Falcons' third straight home game under Arthur Smith since he's been here. I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure last year we were not at home.
You talking about home opener?
You talking about just opening game of the season?
Opening game of the season, regular season.
Last year it was New Orleans, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was a home. No.
Ridder's
first game was New Orleans in New Orleans. The first game was New Orleans, but it was here.
But both, remember now, we played against Philadelphia here under Al Smith first year, then New Orleans, and now they're going to be playing against Carolina. All three of them games is opening regular season games at home.
Well, hopefully he don't start a trend by losing at home.
Exactly. That's what I tweeted it out a while back. Yeah, we can't lose a third straight game at home opening.
Right. Well, I'll say this, Gabriel. maybe the Ridley situation was something they opened eyes. I don't know how injured he was that they made, you know, but maybe that, maybe they learned from that. I don't know.
But the, you know, at the same time, like, you know, yes, there is a situation where, like, if a guy's injured and the coaches know it, you know, but the player's like, I can play, coach, I can play, you know, how much right. do you let the player dictate that versus do you let the player, you know, you don't, you take the player out of the equation and just make the call on your own. And, you know, in that sense,
I will say this. He seemed like he learned a good bit of, like, roster management from first year to second year.
Yeah.
First year, they didn't play no starters at all in the preseason. And then the second year, no, we ain't doing it again. And then you've seen some different handlings. So, who knows? So, we'll see. Yeah, I get – yeah, I hear you. I know that they said that they misdiagnosed injury, but that ain't got – that's not Smith. Like, if the doctors did something wrong, that you hear that.
Yeah.
Like, you hear those kind of conflicting reports all the time from players to team doctors, you know? So there's part of, there's times where I'm like, I'm not saying that, that Ridley was lying. I'm not saying that, but it's hard for me to figure out, but because each side very much has its own interest in mind, you know, yeah. the players, you know, as far as them being able to play and the team, you know, having the, trying to have the team's interest in mind. So anyway, not getting in into that.
Now, I'll say that I had a scare today where I'm sitting here going through Twitter and I heard somebody say like, oh, you know, 11 on 11, Clayus Campbell's playing or whatever. But then later on, somebody's like, we saw him leave the field talking to trainers, talking about, you know, like putting, like motioning to his like lower back and this and right. the other. And I'm like, crap. So I saw Rothstein's observations later, but I didn't see it, like not even a mention, not even like, oh, you know, he went over there, talked to the trainers or whatever, then went back in, like, or he left the field and then right. you know, stayed with the trainer. I just didn't hear anything in that or didn't read anything. And so I straight up asked him. I was like, so Clayus Campbell.
What's up with Campbell? What's up with Clayus?
Right. Yeah, what's going on with Clayus here? Please. And oh, yeah, he basically said like he was in there. He seemed fine.
Yeah, well, I think it was somebody else because I try to follow all the beat writers because sometimes like you'll get it from a handful of different angles. And apparently he went over there, talked to the trainers, and then was back in on red zone drills. Like, so, okay. like, he did go back into practice. So,
I wonder if it could have been something like a, like, they were trying something, like, equipment related to help him with his lower back to help
maybe,
and maybe it wasn't fitting right or something like that.
Right.
Not sure.
Yeah. Keon Lawson says, they said he was back in red zone drills. Right.
Cool.
All right, so and before we get
when I asked Rothstein and he didn't come back saying like, oh yeah, I saw something this and that, when he was just like, I didn't, whatever, then I, you know, and I didn't see it pop up in any of Arthur Smith's like little snippets for the, the press conference afterwards. I was like, was this like a big nothing burger and nobody told me what the hell's going on?
I think it was
here?
A big nothing burger. before I we move on to much anything else, we have a content creator meetup on Saturday. I'll move that down for a second so y'all can. Oh, that's the wrong address. Son of a gun. Disregard that address. I'll put this back up so that you can't see the address. Bam. Okay. it is going to be at the Taco Mac in Hiram, Georgia. It is off of, I think, Windy Bagwell Parkway, if I'm not, or Windy Parkway. But if you just Google Taco Mac Hiram, Georgia, it'll take you to where we will be, and we will be there on the 19th, which is next Saturday, at 7 p.m. We have a section of the outdoor patio sectioned off for us, and hopefully y'all will be able to come by, hang out, you know, grab a, you know, grab some wings, watch some preseason football that'll be on. We could chat about the Falcons. Hopefully we'll be talking about a win. There it is. Yes. Yep. Jonathan's got the address in chat. I thought I put up the right thing, but it's not just going to be us. It's going to be Out of Your Falcon Mind, John and Mike provided that Mike feels better. It'll be Terry from Twisted Torch TV. Everybody's favorite Big Low will be there, sporting his mustache, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the mustache, and he's bringing that entourage.
That's right, bringing the whole entourage and petitioning to get signed by the Falcons. Also, with Smitty Sports Machine will be there as well, and Ronnie from New Millennium Falcon podcast will be there, and so will Uncle Steve from Uncle Steve's Lounge. So come by, say hi, you know, grab a drink with us, we'll give some toasts. I'll shake a wing at you as I'm chowing down. No, don't mind me if I have a mouthful of food, but yeah, it should be a good fun time. We're going to go up there and we're going to hang out. We're going to have a good time. So
absolutely.
Wanted to make sure I threw that one out there again. Also, this Friday, just like we did this past Friday, unless something comes up and changes, we will be watching the Bengals game and commenting on it, and hopefully trying to do a little bit more like commentating on the game itself, not just
that was a blast, especially when John came on and he was just like about 5 or 6 seconds ahead of us. So he was sitting there like when the return happened, the punt return, he was just like, oh.
I like the draft.
Yeah, like exactly. I was watching John more than I was watching the game. Like,
I was like sitting there trying to like decipher good, bad.
Right, exactly.
Is he
in pain?
Let's see. Pantera says, anyone going to the game Friday night at the Benz? No, not this Friday, but next Thursday, me and Jonathan will be at the Steelers game. Yes. So if you're going to the Benz then, check us out or like look for us. Let's see. All right. Brian says, I have never heard of most of these content creators.
that's a list of good content creators for you that you can go and check out now.
Right. And they all have their varying flavors. You know, like Out of Your Falcon Mind with John and Mike. And like Mike's more of like a cultural, like pop culture, you know, type references and cut up. And obviously Big Low is a card. He's hilarious to watch. And, Smitty Sports Machine does a lot of stuff along the lines we do. He pumps out a lot of videos. So if you want a take or an opinion on just about anything, Smitty will pretty much have you covered. The New Millennium Falcon podcast is like hit or miss. Those guys have a lot of different things going on, but Ronnie's a really good dude. And Uncle Steve's Lounge does a really good job. I see him a lot more on Facebook than anything else, but he does a really good job with his breakdowns and analysis as well. He says, not promising I won't react the same way if I come by. All you're going to have to do, John, is just pause your stream to where it'll match up with our stream. See, we all have to get into sync. All right, so into the Q&A as we start to wind this thing down. So if y'all got any kind of particular questions, put them up there. Millie says, Eagle fans are very unimpressed with Mariota. I was trying to tell him he sucks, but you can't tell Eagles nothing. Well, I mean, as Toby's son pointed out last year, I mean, the sidelines should be getting a lot of work.
Hey, those backup wide receivers, tell them to line up on the sideline.
You'll get it.
Especially if the routes are like 20 yards down the field, because I can almost guarantee you're going to get some extra practice in on game day.
That's right.
If he's playing.
Brian says, he goes, I only have so much time to watch. I am with you on that, Brian. He said, it's you guys and the Falcoholic for me. Well, we appreciate that we are one of the few that you choose to watch. I did catch this earlier, something that we kind of predicted, and it seems like it is actually coming to fruition. Zach Harris is like being taken under the wing of Calais Campbell, which is awesome to hear, you know, similar size and build. So that's a guy that Zach Harris can learn a lot from on the job. So I'm glad to hear that they're actually doing that. He's imparting that knowledge.
You know, if I could go back to the beginning of the stream and do the ballers and follows, I would probably change. Although I think Breon Borders is absolutely deserving of it. I would probably just change it to the defense as a whole. I haven't seen that kind of defense played, whether preseason or regular season, in a very long time. And when we saw it, it was either there was always something where there would be a big play given up at some point for a touchdown, or there'd be some breakdown or whatever. But it just felt like the guys were just constantly where they were supposed to be. And sometimes they got beat, but they didn't get beat for scores. Yeah. They got beat for big games, but they always got, made sure that they got back in where they needed to be so they could make sure they had another down to play at.
Yep. Yeah.
They just kept at it. And it was so exciting to watch. And I hope, I saw somebody else put it in here. Like, I just hope this translates to the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
The last thing I want is to get excited about this and then come opening day. It's just like just
flat.
Yeah.
Yep. Jared Butler says, pound for pound, what's up, Toby D? What's good?
What up, fam? That's his question.
So he says, I'll be watching the episode at work, but couldn't wait. Fun fact, I'm about to type. What did you type? Okay, here it is. This is the fun fact. The Falcons defensive backs, AJ and Alford, etc., are so used to having to strike out wideouts for stick to wideouts for 6 to 8 seconds a pass. With a pass rush, now they only have to cover for 3 to 5. This is a good problem. This is going to be a good problem. Yes. Like, this is something me and Toby talked about for years. These things are married together. They go hand in hand.
Yep.
You have a super sticky, corners. That gives your defensive line a little bit more time. I mean, that sack of Nate Landman's was straight up and down a coverage sack.
It sure absolutely was.
Straight up and down. But then when you have a defensive line that can actually get some pressure, Huggins and Harrison and all those guys in this particular pass game to the tune of 5 sacks, now the secondary doesn't have to stick for as long. So these things go hand in hand, and it's great. It is. Good things to be all be considering.
And the good thing is that we got 5 sacks and all 5 were for different people.
Yep.
You didn't have what's a dude's name? Had like a crap ton against the Cowboys.
Claiborne. Yeah.
It's not a Claiborne situation where it's like, oh man, we got like 6 or 7 sacks. But yeah, 6 of them came from Claiborne, and then we had one other guy that walked into one for some reason or another. It was like all 5 of those sacks came off of different pressure packages, different blitzes, coverage sack. The Ebiketti sack was straight up, he just beat his man.
Took the ball from him.
And then took the ball and literally hit him, fumbled the ball, picked up the ball, like everything all in one play. And it was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And people will poo-poo it and say, like, oh, that was against a guy who's going to be on the street later. Okay, fine.
Didn't matter.
But he still had to do it, and it still looked good. And you couple that with all the other stuff, and you could feel that defense. Yeah, the very first drive, that offense went down the field on us fairly easily until they got to the red zone. They did that one other time, really. But for the most part, the rest of that game, like everything that they were getting in that against us on their on our defense, it felt like they really had to work for it every single time.
Yep. Yeah,
like, there was nothing cheap. There was nothing easy. They got us a couple times on some trick plays. At least the one they pull out a reverse in the preseason. It's like, what are you doing? But okay,
That was a desperate play.
That was like we gotta have something.
Yeah, they were desperate, boy. They were desperate.
mm-hmm. Keon asked, do you think we see Clark Phillips in this game, or should we save him for later? Has he been practicing? I was trying to think back.
He came back. Yep.
Then, yeah, you might see him later in the
game.
He's with
the twos.
Then, yeah, you might see him. Like he could use the reps. If he's healthy enough to practice and play, then, yeah, I believe you do see him.
Yes.
Charleston Nash asks, who are you most excited to watch out of the starters? For me, it's Ritter. Like, he's our biggest question mark in the sense of, like, our offense in a lot of ways is going to go however Ritter goes. Well, yes, are we going to win some games in spite of Ritter? Probably. We did last year. But we're not trying to pile on Marcus, but have we had a competent quarterback last year? How many more games would we have won?
Yeah.
You know, at least three I could think of, right?
Yeah.
So my biggest question mark still is Ritter. Like, does he play well within the offense, within the structure of the I don't care if it's Dinkin and Duncan.
Yeah.
They've shown me already that they can manufacture big explosive plays.
Yeah.
Explosive plays come in such a variety. People get so sunk in on a deep ball. But if you design a play well enough to where you get Kyle Pitts streaking across the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Like, okay, perfect example. The back and forth or the two sides of the coin. Justin Fields' preseason performance.
Yep.
Like, that man threw three screen passes, got two touchdowns, and they were all huge plays. And everybody's like, finally, like, see, told you Justin could do it. Or other people were like, oh, he didn't do nothing. He just threw the ball. Like, it doesn't matter. You can generate explosive plays in so many different ways.
Yeah.
So it's, can Ritter operate in the offense?
Yeah, it's like the guy's, it's like you look at his stats, it's 3 for 3 for 130 yards. You're like, holy crap.
Right.
You know, they're just bombs over Chicago or whatever. And but when you watch the film, it's literally like, I just handed it off to this guy for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's a like just any Joe Blow can do it or whatever. But for an NFL quarterback, that was literally a handoff twice. And then but the end result was ginormous touchdown plays because everybody is doing the things they're supposed to be doing. Now apparently there was some discussion as to whether there should have been flags called, at least maybe first one.
I ain't worried about all that. That's whatever.
But yeah.
But that's the deal. It's the can Ritter play. That's what I'm excited to see. Can he operate in this offense? Yeah. What does he look like now with a full offseason preparing as the starter? All that jazz. Like, he doesn't have to come out and score, but he can't look like Trey Lance out there.
Right.
Yes.
So, Toby, who are you excited to see?
Calais Campbell.
There you go.
I want to see how he really fits, what impact he can make, because I think he's going to be a key cog in what this defense can be, especially if you're running a New Orleans-style defense that they seem to be getting ready to run. You need Calais Campbell to show up big. I mean, I know he's, 37 years old or whatnot, but we need him to show up big, man. And so that's who I'm looking at this year. Can he be Dwight Freeney for the Atlanta Falcons?
There you go.
And really help that defense do some things this year.
No, yeah, that's an extremely good one. Jonathan, who are you looking at?
I'm looking at the defense. I want to see the defense.
See if that's what keep it going.
I want to see, if what we're in my brain, we talked about on the stream Friday, like, imagine this translating to the first team. If you're able to put in all the work coaching and it sinks into your third and fourth string guys, where they're staying disciplined and they're playing disciplined and all that stuff. Like, what happens when you put out the stars,
right?
Yeah. And like what we can anticipate with that. I am super excited to see that. I'm excited for the offense as well. I am more sure that the offense is going to be there. It may not always start out super fast at the beginning of a game. It may take us a little bit going, because that's just been kind of how Ritter is.
Well, so I'm hoping. I'm sorry, I ain't trying to cut you off, but I just had a thought process. I'm really hoping that Bijan can like allow us to start faster.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry. That was just a train of thought. My mouth open before I realized that I was cutting you off. So,
well, but you know, like, you know, you have Bijan, you get Kyle Pitts back, you get Drake London year two, you get Mac Hollins, you got Jonnu Smith, you got, you know, all these, Tyler Algier, you still got all these weapons. So
yeah,
the
man.
Hope is that, yeah, you can, you can start faster. And I expect that, you know, if it's not something that happens early in the season, I expect later on as things gel better, that we will start seeing faster and faster starts. But I'm less worried about the offense by and large, even if Ridder is just a guy, really, right?
Oh yeah.
If he's just a guy, I still think this offense can be really good.
Yeah.
But the defense is what I am salivating to hopefully have what is in my head be showing up on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope, I completely agree. Chris says he's excited to see David Onyemata.
Yep.
Tony says that he wants to see how Mac Hollins handles the number two receiver role. I really got like a Mohamed Sanu vibe off of Mac Hollins. And I really hope that that's what comes to fruition, you know? Shep says, I also believe Arthur Smith is going to allow Desmond to get comfortable with feeding the rock to playmakers and sinking defenses in the box, which will open up the plays downfield. No, I mean, that's the point, right? Like,
oh man, y'all, listen, I'm tired.
Oh, what's up?
But having a quarterback that's ready to talk jump, I'm so looking forward to Desmond Ridder talking much trash. I mean, the way he called them DBs out in practice, he's too effing small. I'm like, man, that just had me just dragging up, man. Yep.
And then I'm sorry, Jay.
That's good.
I just thought about it.
And then we got Kev over here. Did we forget CP? You know, I mean, but that's the thing.
No.
Like, once you start talking about these, you start hearing, you know, thinking about all the different things. Yeah, like sometimes a guy like a CP gets kind of lost there. It could have been CP. It could have been. I almost forgot Jonnu Smith because I'm just thinking about everything else. You know, there's so many different weapons and different playmakers that if we can make sure we're putting those guys in good positions and Ridder can just get them the ball, whether it's behind the line of scrimmage, whether it's 5 yards down or 20 or 30 yards down the field, doesn't really matter. Just get them, you know, put them in a position to make a play and good things are going to happen more often than not.
That's the deal. I'm kind of with Tony in a sense. Like, he wants to see how our rotational players on the defense perform when called up, you know?
Yeah.
Because rotational players are what keep the pressure on.
Yes.
You know, especially when we're talking about defense. When you got a guy like a Zach Harris who can, you know, mid-third quarter come in with some fresh legs. And or you got a guy like a Timmy Horn and a Huggins who, if a team is trying to really run it down our throats, you know, you could throw those two guys in there and clog up the middle, you know?
Yeah.
And Taquan Graham and D'Angelo Malone and like these guys, right? Like these guys are what are going to really drive this season in a lot of ways. Like Bud Dupree and Onyemata and Caden Ellis and Grady and Calais.
Man.
Those guys.
Oh, that sound good. That sounds so good right now.
Which practice was it? Somebody put out the front. It was Grady, Onyemata, Calais, and Bud Dupree.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, oh, Lord. Like,
like
don't let me get excited.
Please don't let me get excited for something that ain't going to work out. Please, Lord.
It was one end was Calais, then the two interior – Grady and Onyemata, and on the other end was Bud Dupree. And then you take all four of those guys, and then you're blitzing Ellis up the middle
and Troy Anderson
on the edge, or what? I mean,
my goodness.
At this point, my only concern are linebackers.
Yeah,
and that's like because like as we've said the whole time, you know, you're expecting a breakout candidate, a breakout player to this be his norm, which could be like this is the coach that coached him. So it's not like you're taking a breakout player from another team that you have no experience with.
Yeah.
Kind of like we did with Ray Edwards back in the day. Right?
Man.
You took a breakout player on an amazing line that you had no experience with. You know, that goes good, bad. You know, the good being Michael Turner, the bad being Ray Edwards, right?
Yeah.
But at least this coaching staff, you know, Ryan Nielsen, has experience with Caden Ellis. So he knows what his mental makeup is and all this other jazz. So you're putting
probably already knows what he's good at and what he's not.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah.
And so you're putting him in a more prominent role.
Yeah.
And then you're expecting a good bit from Troy Anderson, who did win the job by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But you're expecting Troy Anderson to take a substantial step forward.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's probably not too far off, MJ.
Yeah.
He says, does Kaliko Turi take over Ogundeji's roster spot?
Well, you got him, but you also got the guy we signed today.
Another XFL player.
He played with the Texans, and he actually stepped away from them saying he was going to retire like 2 weeks ago.
This is Delonte Scott.
No, this is Demone Harris.
Demone Harris. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That one slipped under the radar for me.
Oh, yeah. We signed him. I think we're trying to collect XFL players like Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
we got to sign them all. And, you know, because we signed yet another guy, this little blurb was out an hour ago. Delonte Scott signs NFL contract with Atlanta Falcons. He played with the San Antonio Brahmas. Looks like a linebacker, probably.
Yeah, another one, huh?
Yep. So, let's see.
And who the USFL?
That was the linebacker, Frank Giada. I still haven't figured out how to say his last name, but he was USFL Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And like four-time Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Linebacker. So, like, we're collecting these, like, second chance guys, which we've had some success with. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys play out in this upcoming preseason game and the game against the Steelers.
Man, I can't wait to see what the defense look like, man. I really can't. We're going to be aggressive. I know that.
We're going to take
our chances.
We haven't spent this much time talking about a defense in
the only way I could see talking about defense this much in the past was like all the things we did wrong and what we need to do to fix it.
Or like what are the glaring holes? Like, oh my God, we need this. Or even when we signed Dean Pease, it was hard to get myself excited about it.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the roster like, okay, like, yeah, you're going to come in with all the
what is he going to work with?
Right. But you over here trying to make, you know, filet mignon out of Spam.
Yeah.
It don't happen, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be interested. Like, I'm very interested to see how this defense, if they keep it up, if they can, like, was it just a product of, hey, we practiced against these guys for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Or 2 days.
Yeah.
And we have a little bit more of a tendency of what they're going to do. Like, is that the product of what we saw?
Well, but even if that was the case, okay, if that's the case, then that bodes well for the regular season, which is what, you know, yes, you're not going to practice against them, but you're going to be diving deep into, like, what they do and their
tendencies
and all that stuff. So even if that is the case, then maybe against Cincinnati, it doesn't look quite as good. Like, we only get 3 sacks instead of 5, you know, or something like that. But if that's the case, and the defense still looks good, but maybe not as good, then I think that bodes well for the regular season, where the whole week is nothing but studying your opponent to be as familiar with them as possible. I think that would bode well.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I'm excited all the way around, and like we'll see once again. Like, I come away from the first preseason game 2 years ago, going, "Oh God, we're in trouble."
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I came away from that game going, we're screwed. I've come away from this game going, there might be some straight up down light at the end of the tunnel.
Man, let me tell you, I don't know if y'all remember or not, but and I promise you that this defense, the way they came out there played, reminds me of what New Orleans defense did in 2013 when Rod Ryan first got with them as their defense coordinator. I mean, they were getting sacks out the yin yang, and that translated over into the regular season where they was collecting sacks like it was nobody's business. So I'm hoping that what we're seeing translates where the sacks just start coming in droves, man. I really am.
MJ has a good question here. It says, I noticed Jalen Hawkins didn't suit up Friday. Yep. So does that mean a lot of three safety sets?
Yes.
I knew New Orleans ran a lot. They did. That was one of their like heavily favored sets as far as the nickel went. I still go back to Terry Fontenot like highlighting or talk like physically saying big nickel.
Yeah.
During the draft process. Mm-hmm. Like these guys don't say things like that if they're not thinking that way.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not, I mean, Helms, if he produces, like I said over the weekend, that Helms could be the reason why we don't re-sign Hawkins.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, if Helms keeps his play up, you know, again, that's hard not to keep him on the field.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and hopefully we get to talk about another win. And like I said, hopefully y'all will come by on Saturday as we are out at the Taco Mac in Hiram, Georgia. And you can come out and hang out with us. And I hit the wrong one. So go ahead and start wrapping this thing up. As always, y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grim1128. That's GRIMM1128. Jonathan.
At Jonathan M. Holder. You can come by and say hi and give me a follow, and I'll follow you back.
There you go. Toby, do you want to throw anything out there?
I found out it is still Toby D. 1991. Yeah.
Well, you could give out your threads. I know you seem to be like more enjoying threads than
Twitter. I'm kind of bouncing in between, but you know football season's coming up, so I'll probably be more X than threads.
Or X. Hey, look, he can name it whatever he wants to. I ain't calling it X. That's just
you see what I call it. I call it Twix now.
That's right.
Hey, you know what? You're right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Take this away. You'll see it right here.
That's Twix. What the edge looks like. Twix.
There. Bam. Toby D 1991. Oh, yep. I forgot the D. Dadgummit. Hold on.
That's all right.
We're editing in real time here, folks.
Nice.
And bam, there it is.
Bam, there we go.
There it is. So like I said, we'll be back Friday with the game. Maybe if Toby feels like he can join us. If he doesn't, that's fine too. And if not, I think we'll, even if he does, we may still throw John in the second half just to, cause that was fun last week.
I mean, this week I keep saying it, I said it for the draft and it didn't happen. I think this time around, I will probably be a little more casual that I've been thinking in my head, like, this is going to be awesome. Where I'm sitting on the couch and you guys are sitting there with me.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. Every single time I want to do that, it's always the lighting that ends up. So I got to figure out some kind of lighting situation.
Either way. All right, folks. We appreciate y'all. Keep your eye on the channel. We'll be back live on Friday if nothing goes down. And if not, we'll have some kind of reaction show or something to it. We'll have another show this weekend, and then we'll see y'all on Saturday for the ones who decide to come out.
I plan on being there Saturday, so
there you go.
That's my plan. It's gonna be a long ride.
That's all right. Hey, we'll throw you some gas when I'm scared. As always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.
Bam.